Good morning. It's a joy to speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you so much for inviting me into your home and into your church assembly to share with you from the Word of God. It is my joy to talk about Jesus today. Jesus was a great personal person, a personal evangelist. That is, he took interest in people. In fact, there are 48 personal interviews of Jesus with others in the Gospels. And Jesus one time came to his disciples and said, "I want to make you like me." He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In other words, Jesus is going to make us, when we are interested in people, and when we will reach out to others with the good news of God's grace and his kingdom, we will become like Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, our story today is about a man who was one of those disciples that Jesus called. The Bible talks about him some 13 times. And his name is in the list of the 12 apostles. But he never speaks beyond the book of Acts, or the first chapter of Acts. He is famous for something he did that has influenced the church for 2,000 years. And if it hadn't have been for him, there might not have been a great sermon on Pentecost. There might not have been the great beginning of the Church of Christ in Jerusalem that scattered throughout the world. This is a man that was an ordinary man. And yet he did extraordinary things for Jesus. He was the man without any jealousy. He was a man willing to play second fiddle. Of course, I'm speaking about Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The title of this lesson is Andrew, the Introducer, because every time we read about him doing something, he is bringing people to Jesus. He is introducing someone to Jesus Christ. Now in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he is only mentioned by name. He's named as the second or the fourth of the apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, or it's Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That's the way he's introduced. But Andrew is a man who is evangelistic, though he's not number one. We're going to see that he brought, first of all, his brother to Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, the Bible tells us that Jesus called Andrew, the disciples, or they began to follow him, and they stayed with him, two of them, that night. And the scripture says the first thing the next day that Andrew did was to go find his brother, Simon Peter. And Simon Peter came, and Jesus said to him, "Your name's no longer going to be Simon. I'm going to call you Peter," which means rock, or the Aramaic word Cephas, which is the same as Peter. Now, Jesus never said to Andrew, "Say, you're Andrew. I'm going to call you Peter," which means a rock. But he said it to Simon, Andrew's brother. Now, if it hadn't have been for Andrew, who went and found his brother and told him, "We have found the Messiah," there might not have been a Simon Peter. Simon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter is the great fisherman, the big fisherman, whose name occurs first in the list of all the apostles. The first 12 chapters of the book of Acts are about the ministry of Simon Peter. He wrote two books in our New Testament named 1st and 2nd Peter. And yet if it hadn't have been for Andrew, there might not have been a Simon Peter. Andrew was the type of man then that knew no jealousy. He was willing to walk in his brother's shadow. Scripture says, two or three times, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That's the way he was known. Have you ever been known as someone's brother? I grew up in a family of six children. I have four sisters, one brother. My brother's 3 years younger than me. We went to the same high school, so we knew some of the same people. And I was 3 years older, so every time Ron was around somebody, they say, "Oh, you know Calvin, you must be Calvin's brother." So I went off to Freed Hardeman College and was preaching every Sunday and studying the Bible up there and doing well in college. And Ron graduated from high school. And I said, "Ron, come on up with me to Freed Hardeman College, and we can even be roommates." And he said, "Oh, no, I'll never follow you again. I'm tired of being known as Calvin Warpula's brother." And so he went off and joined the Navy for the next 4 years. Yes, we don't like to walk in someone else's shadow, do we? Well, it happened to a doctor that I know in Amarillo, Texas, when we were there, Dr. James Glenn, a gynecologist. And his wife opened up a realty business and called it Ada Glenn's Realty. Well, when Dr. Glenn would go around town, people would say, "Oh, you must be Ada's husband." Well, he got tired of that. So he asked his wife to take off the name Glenn from her real estate signs. So her business then became known as Ada's Realty. He didn't want to walk in his wife's shadow. But Andrew walked in the shadow of Simon Peter. And he was willing to do that because he introduced Peter to Jesus. And he was not a member of that inner circle. It was not Peter, Andrew, and James. It was Peter, James, and John. That was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration that were closest to him in the Garden of Gethsemane in those final hours of prayer, and that went into the house of Jairus to raise the 12-year-old daughter from the dead. Yes, Peter, James, and John were the inner circle. Andrew was left out. But he didn't mind. He wasn't jealous. And so the point for us today is introduce people to Jesus. Be willing to talk about Jesus, family members. You know, Andrew started with his own family. Sometimes it's hardest to reach our own family. In fact, when I do ministry in churches, people will sometimes say to me, "Will you go see my brother or my sister or my father, my mother, my cousin?" And the reason sometimes is they feel like, "Well, I don't have a witness with them. I'm afraid that I may offend them. But if you go, it'll be different." Well, sometimes it is hard to reach our family members because they know us so well. You see, the Bible even talks about that Peter and Andrew shared the same house and they lived together. And so they knew each other. They grew up together. And always Andrew was the little brother. But he introduced Peter to Jesus. And William Temple said that's the greatest service ever given to the Church of Christ is that he brought Simon Peter to Jesus Christ. Thank God for Andrew, the introducer. And do you know you can be an introducer? 70% of us who are saved are in the Church of the Lord because somebody brought us. Somebody talked to us. It might have been a father or mother, a brother or sister, but it was somebody. Maybe it was a friend or a Sunday school teacher, but somebody talked to us. And so, if the church is to grow and we're to reach people for Jesus, as the Lord said, "Go and make disciples," then we need to be introducers. We may not can teach the gospel ourselves as well as we would like, but we can say something for Jesus. And if nothing else, we can say, come with me to church, or come, let me come and bring my preacher over to see you, or one of the brothers or sisters from the church, or let's just read the Bible together and read the book of Acts and see what the Bible says about how to be a Christian and how to be saved. You see, if you know why you were saved, how you were saved, then you know enough to tell somebody else how and why to be saved. Be an Andrew. Be open to people, love people, care about people, bring people to Jesus Christ. The second thing that Andrew did is in John, the sixth chapter. And it's only John that gives us these stories about Andrew. Stories are not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But here in John chapter 6, in the only miracle Jesus performed, that's told in all four Gospels. But the other Gospels do not mention the details of Philip and Andrew and the barley loaves. But they do talk about Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. But how did that come about? Well, the Bible says that Jesus was teaching, and there was a large crowd that was following him. And it grew in the evening when the sun was sinking in the west, and the disciples began to wonder, well, where's everybody going to eat supper? It's going to be dark soon. Here we are out here in the wilderness country. Lord, maybe you need to send them away to the villages and let them buy some bread or go to the local restaurants or go home. And Philip said, well, you know, if it took a half a year's wages, 200 denarii, what a man would make working a whole half a year to buy bread for this crowd. And Andrew spoke up and said, well, there's a boy here, and he has five barley loaves and two fish. But what's that among so many? Andrew saw the difficulty, but he also saw an opportunity. He said, here's a boy. God, what can you do with five barley loaves and two fish? You see, Andrew is the only one that got to know that little boy. Now, why did he get to know him? Evidently, he was a stranger to him. The boy's name is not given, never mentioned again in Scripture. Probably not a relative of his. But he got to know him some way. Because Andrew was interested in people. He was talking to people. He asked questions. He got answers. And he found out, here's a boy. When he left home this morning, his mother packed a brown paper bag lunch, so to speak, and said, son, here's five barley loaves, little loaves, maybe about the size of your fist, about the size of a honey bun. And it was barley. That's cheap bread. Wheat bread was more expensive, but barley was what the poor people ate. It was a rough fiber diet. And two fish, and they were probably pickled or salted, preserved. They still were not wiggling in the basket. And so, here's a boy. He's got this lunch. God, what can you do with this lunch? Can you do anything? And Andrew said, what is this among so many? But he brought the boy to Jesus. And Jesus said, have everybody sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed God and said the prayer of thanksgiving over five barley loaves and two fish. And then he distributed to the apostles and said, spread it out among the crowd. And so in the hand of Jesus, it was multiplied. And they fed 5,000 people, not counting the women and children. And when it was all over, Jesus said, take up the leftovers. Don't let a thing be wasted. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of leftover bread fragments. What a great miracle. The multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. And where did Jesus start? He started with a little boy's sack lunch. And who introduced the little boy to Jesus? Andrew. So Andrew was someone that was introducing people to Jesus. And Andrew saw an opportunity here, and Jesus used that. Now, of course, you know that Jesus could have made bread out of nothing, like in the beginning, created the world out of nothing. And Jesus was there, the Bible says, in his pre-existence. It's the second person in the Godhead, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he had the power of creation, and he'd used that power. But he started with something already made. A boy's sack lunch. And Andrew is the one that brought the boy to Jesus. Praise God for Brother Andrew, that he was optimistic and said, God, can you do something with this? And the Lord did. Praise his name. The third story about Andrew is in chapter 12 of John's Gospel. Here they are at the Passover feast. This is the annual feast of the Jews where they celebrate the coming out of Egypt. And it is a great feast. It is the greatest of the feasts and festivals. And it is celebrated annually. And Jesus comes to the Passover, and it is during this Passover week that Jesus will be crucified and resurrected. And the Bible says before that occurred, though, that there were some Greeks who came to the Passover. Now, these were probably God-fearing Greeks, and the God-fearers in the book of Acts are those who believe in Jewish monotheism and Jewish morality, and they're attracted to it, but they don't want to be circumcised, and they don't want to be full-fledged proselytes, so they're just hangers-on to the synagogue, so to speak. They're just onlookers, attenders. And so these Greeks are there. They're foreigners. And Philip brought the Greeks to Andrew. And the Greeks said, "We would like to see Jesus." And Andrew brought those Greeks and introduced them to Jesus Christ. Andrew then was the first local missionary when he brought his brother to Jesus. And he was the first foreign missionary when he brought these Greeks to Jesus. And it's on this occasion that Jesus began to speak about a seed dying in the ground and bringing forth great fruit. And he said, "If I be lifted up from the cross, I will draw all men unto myself." And this he spoke of the manner of death he was to die. So Jesus spoke of the fact, here are some Greeks, and yet I'm going to call all men and women, all Greeks, all Jews and Gentiles, people of every ethnic and national and language group and geographically scattered throughout the world. And Jesus used that occasion when Andrew brought the Greeks to Christ to speak that way. So Andrew cared about people. He brought people that were not like him. They were not Jews. They were not of his race or of his religion. They were attracted to it, but not members of it. They were, maybe you might say, adherents, but not full-fledged members. Andrew cared. And later on, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, "Go, beginning at Jerusalem, go to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." And that's recorded in the book of Acts. And Andrew was one of those apostles. And he went. He went where the Holy Spirit led him and strengthened him. The Bible doesn't even mention Andrew's name after Acts chapter 1, but he was with the apostles. We know in Acts 2 because the apostles are mentioned, but not the names of them, and Andrew was one of them. And church tradition says that he went into the Slavic countries, Romania and up toward Ukraine and into Russia. And today, Andrew is a patron saint of Russia, and he's also the patron saint of Scotland. And there's St. Andrew's cross, because there is a legend that Andrew was crucified also. So he was faithful to Jesus, but he wasn't a big name preacher, so to speak. But he was faithful, and he brought others, people that were unlike him, to Jesus. Now, there are people unlike us all around us. There are people of a different race. There are people of a different nationality. Why, you can't even go to the grocery store today without hearing people speak several different languages. We are surrounded by people from around the world who come to our country to learn and to be educated. And every university, it seems, in the United States has foreigners who are there studying. And they're from all the nations of the world, especially the Chinese and the Indians who were there. And I thank God that some churches have a very active outreach in a campus ministry. and in feeding them and teaching them about Jesus. And I worked for 5 years with the Stillwater, Oklahoma Church of Christ, and Oklahoma State University was right across the street from the church building. And one of our good sisters and her husband led a ministry that every Wednesday night taught the gospel of Luke to foreign students, teaching them conversational English, reading the Bible. And they would ask questions, well, who is this Jesus? And well, what did he do? And what did he say? And they came as non-believers. But because of the good works of Aaron and Sylvia Duncan and their whole crew of people, many of them were baptized into Jesus Christ. And they stayed in the university and got their PhD degrees and went back to China and back to India and back to their home country. And they were Christians. And they shared the gospel of Jesus with their family and with others. And the gospel grew. And praise God, today 27,000 people a day are being baptized in the land of China for Jesus Christ. It's the fastest growing religion in the country. Praise God. Yes, we can be a missionary by reaching out, by talking to people, by being interested in people. We are in the people helping business. And so today, anyone you meet or see, no matter what their language is or what their skin color is or what their nationality is or what their ethnicity is or wherever they're from in the whole world, they need Jesus. And you can introduce them to Jesus. Andrew, the introducer, he introduced his brother. He introduced the little boy with the sack lunch. And he introduced the Greeks to Jesus Christ. And that statement that the Greeks said, when they came to Andrew and Philip, they said, we would see Jesus. I've preached in pulpits where that statement has been written right across the top of the pulpit so that the preacher would see it every time he spoke. And I've seen it engraved on the pulpit so that the congregation sees it, we would see Jesus. And that's what Andrew did. He didn't bring people to himself. He didn't build a big name for himself. He didn't want to be the biggest, best known preacher in the brotherhood, so to speak. No, he brought him to Jesus. And when you bring someone to Jesus, you'll change their eternal destiny. If they will but accept him as Lord and Savior, you will help them in a way that affects eternity. I know of a little boy in East Tennessee. Many years ago, in fact, it was about 1955, in a little town called Kingston, about 35 miles from Knoxville, Tennessee. And this boy's parents had been to different churches, at least the daddy had, and the mother had Church of Christ roots, but never was baptized and didn't go. But one day she suggested to her husband that, why don't you take the children and drop them off at the Church of Christ in town? There's a small church out here meeting down on the street corner in an old building. And so the dad agreed, and so he dropped off the 10-year-old boy and his 9-year-old sister and his 7-year-old brother. And that little boy learned about Jesus. And he was in Sunday school class with a lady named Mrs. Ault, A-U-L-T. She was from Bloomington, Indiana. And her husband worked at the Oak Ridge power plant about 20 miles away, and they were there living there during that time. And she was a Sunday school teacher, and so that little boy sat in class and watched this teacher take pipe stem cleaners and twist them into figures of Paul and Silas and have a sandbox and have a mirror in the middle of the sandbox surrounded by sand representing water. And she talked about Paul and Silas being in the Philippian jail and having the earthquake came at midnight, and then baptizing the Philippian jailer. And she looked at those little boys and girls, and she said, "And boys and girls, someday you need to be baptized when you believe in Jesus too. Jesus is Lord and Savior." Well, that little boy took it in. He listened. He went back the next Sunday and the next and the next. He began to listen to the preaching. He noticed that every time the preacher concluded the sermon, he talked about, "You can be baptized today if you wish." And a few weeks later, that little boy marched down the aisle, 10 and a half years old, and was baptized into Jesus Christ. And he's been serving Jesus Christ for 66 years. And he's still serving Christ. And he's preached to hundreds, and he's preached all over the country and on world radio, gospel broadcast for 18 years. And he even preached at West University Church. And you're looking at him today. Thank God Mrs. Ault was an Andrew who wore a skirt. You can be an Andrew. Join the Society of Andrew and introduce people to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because you'll never regret it, and they will praise God and you forever and ever if they accept the Lord. His will be done. This world is passing away, but he who does the will of God lives forever. Amen and amen.